We have spoken to literally hundreds of projects over the past 7 years. Many of them didn't make it through the bear market, but some have not only survived the bear, but they've continued to build and prosper. One such project is the game Upland. Commanding an average of 30,000 daily users, Upland is the most active of the games in the metaverse category, and they show no signs of slowing. Today, we welcome back Dirk Lewith, CEO of Upland.me, to discuss the latest features of the game, as well as efforts to help facilitate an open metaverse where all of your digital possessions can be used across multiple platforms. We told you about this one in January of 2020, and we're here to update you on the future of Upland and the open metaverse on episode number 719 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
Five.
Who's bad?
Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast, everyone. This is all brand new. We've only done this show over 700 and some odd times, so this might be the first time you've heard us.
Welcome to the Republic of Bad Cryptopia. That's Travis. I'm Joel. We are your benevolent dictators, your hosts, your Derpa Sherpas, Derpa and derping all the way through the crypto world. And we've got a great interview with Dirk Lewith would be the shadow version of Dirk, like his evil twin, Dirk and Doc.
I bet the name Lewith, whenever they came over to America, they're like, what is it, Lewis? No, it's Lewith. Lewith and Clark. We're over here. We're going to try to walk across America. I'm Lewis. And it's my companion, Mr. Clark.
Upland is one of those projects that, you know, we really thought had potential when we saw it, and really pleased to report.
No. We were just like, oh my God, that is the cutest llama.
We love your llama. I love your llama. Can we take your llama home?
Is love you llama, long llama? Time, llama.
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do, why don't we jump over to CoinGecko and take a quick look at what's going on in the markets. Timestamp, the 27th of March, 2024 at 9:03 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, which is also Eastern Standard Time because of daylight savings nonsense happening. The crypto market cap currently 2.748 trillion. Bitcoin, 69,630. Ethereum, 3,511. BNB, 583. Solana, 186. XRP, 61 cents. Dogecoin, 20 cents, up 32% this week. And Cardano now in the top 10 at 64 cents with Avalanche, Shiba not far behind.
Yeah, let's take a look at the last five or last 7 days. Look at this.
ICP.
So if you listen to the episode, I think it was last week or the week before, I was like, man, ICP is doing some things. And dude, it was almost up to $21 today. It's also took a little dump, but I mean, 54% for the week, and it just took a $3 dump. Not bad. And what was interesting this week, Joel, was Dominic Williams. He was talking about how ICP was the very first time that they've launched an AI completely working on a blockchain. So that's some crazy stuff that's going on.
This is what's crazy right here. Okay, so ICP came out and they peaked out. It looks like at $461.
Well, that's when they started tracking it. It got up to $630. Okay.
And then there was what some would say is manipulation, as it completely fell apart. The bottom fell out and it got as low as what, $5 or so?
$2.80.
Oh my.
In September of 2000, it got down to $2 and something in September.
Wow. So things are starting to pop off here. And, you know, Travis was prognosticating. He went to the bathroom to read the Oracle. And I said, what do you see, Travis? And he said, ICP.
ICP and rainbow infinity signs coming out my anus. And
we're gonna have,
so I went to go see the doctor about that.
Dominic's going to come back on the show here soon to talk about the progress they've made. We were working with them early on. We were advisors with them for a short time. And
Manatee stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, check out these other ones in the top and the top 100 that popped off this week. Mantle, never heard of Mantle, up 45%. Ondo, up 34%. Gate, which is a crypto exchange. Again, you mentioned Dogecoin. Bitcoin Cash, up 30%. eCash, the XEC token, up 27%. Arweave, up 24%. Dog Whiff Hat, Joel. Yeah. This thing is up almost 600% in the last month. $3 billion, another meme coin, dog meme coin, in the top 100.
Yeah, this is the meme coin darling right now. No question about it. Yeah. Look at this. It started when it came out in December, just this last December, at 0.004 cents.
Damn.
So if you were there, you know, where it was, you know, even here, 17 cents or so, man, you're looking at some serious multiples here off of a coin that I don't know that it actually does anything. It's a dog with a hat.
It's a dog with a hat. Yeah. I don't know. I tell you what, I've been watching these meme coins. It's so hard to figure out which one's going to pop. You don't know. And so I don't know if you'll ever get to know. I think it just depends on the community and which whales jump in on it and get some buzz going. And it is what it is. But yeah, here's another one.
They've been doing the snapshots on Woofy, which is on Wax, but it's also on Solana at the same time. So I think that they are looking for the Bonk effect. Bonk is another meme coin on Solana that is, you know, in the top 50. It's done really well. Huge market cap, and people on both Wax and Solana are going to be getting airdrops of Woofy here sometime in the beginning of the second quarter. So if you want to learn more about that, go to woofy.io, W-U-F-F-I.io.
I want to share one thing before we jump in. I'm looking at the 30-day charts on CoinGecko, which you have to add that into the navigation in your settings. But the top four tokens, Joel, over the last 30 days, Dogwhiff Hat up 579%, Floki up 428%, Pepe up 324%, and Shiba Inu up 200%. And then there's a couple AI tokens, Fetch AI, rounding out the top five, 176% in the last 30 days. Dude, that's just the top 100. I mean, if we start expanding some of these other ones, it's just ridiculous. But the top four tokens that in the last month, Joel, meme coins.
It's meme season. And, you know, usually you have Bitcoin season and then it pours into alts. So now meme season has kind of preceded alt season, and Bitcoin really hasn't even made its major moves yet. So there's no predicting any of this, gang. It's crazy times. So let's get into this interview with Dirk. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Dirk Lewith.
And welcoming back to the Republic of Bad Cryptopia for the something time. Because we really like what he's doing, and we've become friends over the years, is Mr. Dirk Lewith, the CEO of Upland, upland.me, and also the chairperson for the, what do we call it here? The Open Metaverse Alliance for Web3. That's it, OMA3. Dirk, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a while, but looking forward to the session today.
Well, you made it. Like, you survived the bear, you know, attempted to maul everything in its tracks, and it succeeded, taking down a lot of projects. And in the metaverse space, really only a few have come out the other side, some maybe not better. You know, there was a lot of hype around Sandbox, there was a lot of hype around Decentraland. I don't see either of them really growing the way that Upland has grown, or at least even managed to hold on to the community that you started with. So congratulations.
No, we're quite happy, right? I mean, to be honest, 23 was for the whole industry a very difficult year, not to say a shitty year, right? So, but now things are looking much better, right? So it's I've been in the meta, let's say, in the blockchain space since 2011, and I've seen so many ups and downs. So my skin is really thick now.
So maybe give us the state of the union for the game Upland, because we first discovered What was it, 2017
19.
or in
No, no, it was
19?
20, 2019 in Las Vegas. Yeah,
2019.
that's
That's right. You were at a little table, and you had a little llama there, a little stuffed guy, which I absconded with, and you were handing out little plastic tokens, encouraging people to sign up for Upland, and they would get some UPIX. And we spoke there, became friends, and since then, what has happened?
a lot. Obviously, back in 2019, there in Las Vegas was the Las Vegas Blockchain Week or something. I was
World
called, I think.
Crypto
Or,
Con,
oh,
baby.
world.
World Crypto
Right.
Con.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a big, right? So, and actually, we were only in closed beta at that time, so not everyone was really able to access Upland, right? Because we were only when you were did let in, but we can then quickly open up for everyone. And the interesting thing is, even though being a blockchain company, we launched actually on iOS and Android on mobile, so we didn't have desktop support, what you're doing currently right now. That only came a little bit later. And the Bet Crypto podcast was, I think, really my first public appearance somewhere in some press or some media outlet, right? I think we did it back in mid-January 2020. Yeah, and since then, a lot of things have happened, obviously. You know, from day one, you know, for us it was always a little bit special. We never had an externally tradable token, so we were not that visible sometimes in the Web3 industry. But the way people extract monetary value is, you know, that they can sell their NFTs, which they have in Upland, for US dollars to other players. And like this, I think we minted now way over 6 million NFTs. You know, if we have over 3 million registered accounts. And yeah, January 12th. Yeah, correct. That was a really long time ago.
2020, that was the first time that that you were
Yeah.
on the show here. And
Yeah.
it's always rewarding us, Trav, to have a project that, okay, 4 years later, not only are they still around and building, but they're making an impact.
You know,
Yeah,
it
so
is. It's really awesome because for one, I think when we started this bad boy, there was only San Francisco, right? So I mean, you could play around, and so you know, really early, we jumped on. I don't know how many properties in San Francisco I ended up buying because you know you're able to X amount of time, you're able to get more and more properties, you get more UPIX over time. Let me ask you this, Dirk, how many cities or different areas can you go to now within Upland?
So we have it depends always how you count, but we have roughly 30 cities open in the US,
Wow.
which is now New York, of course, the big ones. We have Chicago's open as a big community, Los Angeles, after San Francisco, Dallas, and a few others, and also some smaller cities. And then international, we started actually going in 2020 for the first time. Excuse me, no, sorry, 2022, if I'm not mistaken, was Tokyo as the first. I don't know what I'm saying. No. So wait, we actually Rio de
Like
Janeiro
London,
was the
yeah.
first. No, it was Rio. It was Rio.
It's
Rio
jet
was our
lag.
first. Yeah,
It's
it
jet
was
lag.
Rio.
You're just jet lagged from flying all over the world.
Exactly. That was Rio de Janeiro, which we opened up. We opened up São Paulo, and then Buenos Aires in South America. Then in Asia, we opened up Tokyo in the meantime, and Berlin is open, and of course London, and which is close nearby, also Birmingham. So these are the cities around the world. And again, you know, people don't have to be in those cities to really play, right? It's basically just, you know, acquiring the land there and doing some. Yeah, what you saw also, we also opened in Qatar because we had a partnership with FIFA. You know, so for instance, if you're a big, NFT fan, you want to get the gold, you know, from Messi scoring at the World Cup, actually as a video NFT, you can actually get that in Upland. Currently, it's owned by a player. But maybe he's willing to sell it. I don't know. Obviously, these are very high valuable NFTs. Yeah, and then fast forward, Upland has gone, a long way. You know, today we have lots of things you can build on your properties, which wasn't possible in 2020. So you can, have some structures on there. You can run and operate shops, so we call them meta ventures. That means you can resell your NFTs, you can create your own NFTs, you can resell NFTs there, right? And we have people who are having, running maybe doing Halloween, their Halloween shops. I think they're running it anyways all year. Yeah, what you see here right now is the Blockchain Heroes headquarter, right? So there's a lot of statues, right, which Joel has created, right, which is very interesting. Yeah,
This is
so
actually an
maybe you want
announcement.
to mention that, what you built
Yeah,
there, Joel.
this is Blockchain Heroes opened up a meta venture. On this property here, the address is 10 South Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. And we took one of our Blockchain Heroes characters, the Silver Scientist, and minted 25 of these. Haven't really made an announcement, you know, about it much to this date, but somebody picked up on it and scooped up mint number one. So you can grab one of these here for, I believe it's, let's see, 75,000 UPIX, and then you can, what can you do with this once you have it? Why would somebody buy one besides the fact that they look cool?
Well, first of all, yes, exactly. They look cool. And what is that? These are called so-called map assets. So they can put them on their own property, right? And say, hey, I'm, you know, I'm part of the, you know, Bad Cryptopia community, and or of the Blockchain Heroes here, right? So you can put them on your property, right? And to customize your properties the way it's not, you know, can obviously also buy other things in order to make your property maybe look more interesting. And so like this, we have now over 2,000 Meta Ventures in Upland. So people were running and operating their shops there.
That's amazing. Over 2,000 Meta Ventures where people are having their own business where they're selling these little digital assets inside the digital world. So it would seem to me, Dirk, that you've built maybe the most functional metaverse that's in existence today, because a lot of these metaverses, right, Metavi, they all have, they're ghost towns, right? You go to Decentraland, it's a ghost town. You go to Crypto Voxels, it's a ghost town. Sandlot, it's the Sandbox, it's kind of a ghost town. This, there's people on these all the time. So you've done a great job of actually taking that metaverse concept and building it. You're building it out slowly. So not so much as a question as more of a kudos of, great job building the most functional metaverse out there right now.
Thank you. No, we're proud of what we've built, right? And today, you know, we have between, depends on the day, 30 to 50,000 daily active humans, how we call them, right? It's not just, you know, bots or whatever, mm-hmm. because it doesn't make sense to come in Upland and farm or whatever. You really have to do something. So they're coming back every day. And the nice thing is really, you know, they have built their own, let's say, virtual, you know, we call that virtual locality-based communities. So, you know, they're coming together somewhere in Chicago and Los Angeles and building their neighborhoods together, creating their shops, customizing the neighborhoods the way they want them. Maybe also what we introduce is cars and car racing in Upland, right? Maybe they have a racetrack there where people then can race. So it's a lot of things you can do. And to be quite honest, sometimes, or maybe I'm not sometimes, I actually lost completely, you know, overview of what's happening there, but that's okay, right? I remember in 2020, I was really following everything on, you know, on the social media, on Discord and wherever we were, what's happening. But now that's just too much. It's just impossible. And that's exactly how we wanted Upland to be, right? So everyone finds somehow his or her thing to do there.
This is, I'm scrolling through my assets. What you're seeing, if you're watching the video on the screen, this is one of my cars, and you recently introduced car travel, because up until then, you can only get on a plane or take the subway, the train somewhere. And now I can actually pull my car out and use it to go to where I want to go. And how am I doing here as far as being a landlord? I do go in and I build my structures on my properties as I can, and even got one of those cool looking towers. Whereas there's the Lilicorp Tower.
That's nice.
Cool thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to be a slumlord. That's what I'm going after here. So you've got some exciting new things that you want to talk about. So tell us, you know, what is the next move, and how does Upland go beyond the current Web3 community to branch out to a much larger audience that would be interested in this metaverse?
Yeah, so a few things. So first of all, Upland always was a big proponent of the so-called open metaverse, right? What that means is that you can actually take not all of your NFTs yet, but soon all of them, right? That means you can take them and put them on other platforms like an OpenSea or wherever, right? And can bring them also back. So that's one thing we started, right? Then we have also within Upland, what we call the third-party developer portal, where now third-party developers can connect their apps to Upland and benefit from our economy, from our community, and they don't have to build the apps that they look completely like Upland. They can be a completely different app. Then the third thing is what you're showing here right now is actually, and 2 years ago, I said, okay, you know, we have all those different worlds also in Web3 who are being created, but somehow there will still some silo, right? And sometimes in some cases, you know, I'm an economist, right? I'm speaking of market failure. And the reason for that is because in sometimes, you know, people, they don't have an incentive to really partner together because everyone is focused so much on his or her own thing. And that's the reason why 2 years ago I invited during NFT NYC, I invited, you know, all, you know, the leaders and founders of the biggest projects, say, hey, guys, we have to work together because we have to create certain standards in order to be the really, you know, this new paradigm that the user's at the center of everything. Everything is community run. I'm in control of my assets. I can take my assets from one world to the other. Yeah. And without being just the next generation of walled gardens, what you have today, you know, most of the games which are around in the classical Web 2 world, right? And so we started the Open Metaverse Alliance, where anyone can join, OMA3.org, and then people can participate in working groups, right? And in those work groups, like we have one work group is called Portaling. It's really cool. So we are developing a solution. You're in one world. I saw now already the alpha, and then you can look through the portal into the other world, right? So of course it's. You know, it's still a bit further away, you know, of being ready for prime time. But that's what the Open Metaverse is about, right? I'm the user. I'm at the center. I can take my assets. Because in the real world, when you travel from France to Germany, you don't stop at the border and leave your car there and buy a new car just to enter France, right? It's so stupid, right? It's exactly what we're trying to achieve here. I can take my car, and ideally this car said maybe has just been damaged in one of the races in Upland, and now I go and take it maybe to Sandbox, but now my damage, you know, is still there, obviously, and maybe I need to repair it in Sandbox or in other worlds, right? And that's, I think, what is really what makes it so different being in blockchain and Web3 than in traditional games.
Yeah, it's beautiful, because a lot of times, you know, Joel's been talking about this for years, about how It's not the metaverse. You guys are all creating your own verse. So the metaverse should be one, right? And so it should be called like a universe, really. But that's already been taken, apparently. So I like what you're doing there, and I think that, you know, that's so important. So let me ask this. So I have some NFTs, some really cool cars that I got from this. I think they're on Ethereum, right? And so if I want to take a really cool vehicle from one of these other NFTs, I can just import it into Upland and start driving it around. How does that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, there's a few aspects to it. So first of all, when I mentioned earlier our third-party developer portal, our users can take, for instance, their you know, their currency, which is our ingoing currency, Apex, and use it in that other world. So that makes it easy when you have a fungible token, because obviously it's just abstract, right? It's just a number as such, right? It's getting a little more difficult, right? When we say, hey, I want to take, you know, some other assets with me. So for instance, we have a partnership with Ready Player Me, and you can have your avatar in Upland. So we have cafes in Upland where you can go. We have also, just 2 weeks ago, we had our first movie premiere in Upland. You can go to movie theater and watch movies there, right? But you take your avatar from one world to the other, and you always look the same. Now with cars, it gets a little more complicated, right? Obviously, because not all worlds look the same. And that's why we said, okay, we now have to work then on a bilateral level, right? We say, okay, you know what? You know, let's make the car from Upland look also, you know, the way it looks, it would be looking in Sandbox. They have more of this voxel graphics, right? Mm-hmm. But we take over those metadata, right? So that and then you know the odometa, how old is the car, and so on.
Okay.
So in that context, we did that for, let's say, inanimated objects like cars. So we will do that, right? However, we started also as Upland a new initiative, which is called Species. So when you go to species.io, the website, and here's something we want to do. We want to create standards for life. So if you want to have a tree, a dog, a gorilla, what have you, right? What we then do is that the Species Foundation, correct, is that basically is that someone can define how it should look like, how the dog should look like the German Shepherd should look like in, you know, all other worlds. And then, you know, these other worlds can adopt that standard. Yeah. So that's something also we have, you know, initiated and we are currently working on. So it's everything is really about the open metaverse and really that this idea comes through that, you know, people don't have to, you know, restart over and over again.
That's so sort of like a standardization of traits, really, essentially is what that is.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
My chicken's better than your chicken. That's not a chicken. That's a chicken.
Well, you defined this chicken then, right? But you, so
it's a turducken.
This is you want to see a badass looking avatar? There's my my Ready Player Me avatar.
Oh, okay, yeah,
right there. Yeah, he's ready.
It's awesome. And so
you like, have what to... is that like 32-year-old Joel?
Yeah, he's ready to kick some ass. They didn't let me age him more. I don't know. I tried to go in there and give him gray hair or something, and it's like, nope. You got to be a young hipster if you want to. If you want to play with us,
damn, you look straight out of the Matrix, bro.
I know. Just call me Neo. I'm the one. I'm the one, bitch. That's it.
You're Geo.
So
you can use the same one in Upland, by the way. You know that, right? So you can this avatar you can use in Upland as well.
I can. You mean as an avatar instead
as
of
an avatar? Yeah, yeah. Because we have cafes, right, or the movie premieres, or that's where you convert from your Block Explorer to. If you go on your profile.
Yeah.
Right. And you go on your profile on the top left.
Yep. I'm in my menu right here. My
profile. Oh, on the top left. Yeah. Menu right now. Oh, okay. Really scroll
there
down.
He is. Yeah.
Ah, see, that's a different one. So you have to probably, you have to configure it, right? And you connect to your Ready Player Me avatar.
Got it. Got it. By the way, this Block Explorer and the one of Sir Lord Travis were the two first custom Block Explorers in the game.
That's correct. Yeah, actually, we did that for the podcast. Yeah. So today, when you have more than $1 million apex of net worth, you get your custom Block Explorers. For you guys, we did the first two. That was fun.
That was great. Hey, I want to ask about this because what I've noticed is it's not necessarily recently, but it's like what I always like to do is like, hey, I want my apex just to grow and grow, and then I'll come in and check on it every couple weeks or so, and then get claim my upix. But what I noticed was you put a cap on that, and what is the cap? How long is the cap? I think it makes sense because you bring people gotta come back to the site more often to utilize it. So I was kind of using it as a savings plan, kind of getting all that interest, bring me the upix, baby. But then I was like, oh no, it's not collecting anymore. I realized that a while back. So how long is that, and so how often ideally should you come back in to be able to claim all of your that you've earned?
Well, ideally come in once a week or so, right? I have to see, we were changing sometimes, you know, the duration of the cap. I don't know what the guys did currently, but the idea would be if you don't come in regularly, right, that we cap it, because what we cannot do is, because obviously Apex is the currency of Upland, right? And when we, you know, when we hand out too much Apex to the users who are not really engaged, right, then, you know, we're inflating the economy too much. And that's the reason we really want people to come back and check in. But what we also introduce is now the gamified yield. That's also something new, right? Because obviously we had so much Apex out there. What we currently do is that people actually, they have a starter lower yield, and now they have to do missions every, you know, what we call in every season. And they're not too hard to achieve those missions, right? But once you achieve them, you actually can go back to the old yield, or you even go above the yield which we had been paying out in the past. You know,
it's funny you mentioned that.
It's the income, right?
As you mentioned that, Dirk, I went in and I connected my Ready Player Me, so my avatar is there, and it said you completed a mission, and so now I can go in and grab 200 upix from having completed the mission of assigning the avatar. I didn't even know that was going to happen. So
exactly, yeah. So it's your income. Oh. Basically, it's not, by the way, I used the wrong word. It's not a yield. It's income, right? What you do, right? You do stuff and you then earn, and then you have your earnings here, yeah?
So what happens with this token then? It's your in-game currency, but at some point, is there an off-ramp? Like say somebody wants to take their upix and turn it into dollars or some other currency, what happens?
No, so what I mentioned earlier is that you can sell all your NFTs for to other players on the marketplace for US dollars after KYC. So like this, we almost, I think, around $50 million we already distributed or between the players, right? Where not Upland, you know, took the money. It's actually just between the players, which is a very good amount for my mind. And then we never buy back APEX from the users, right? So because obviously there's, you know, there's a lot of regulatory reasons. However, we are currently working on a new initiative. So in Upland, we have two currencies. APEX, you know, you buy that with fiat or with, you know, you can buy with credit card, with in-app purchases or with crypto. You take that. And then you actually purchase NFTs, right? Land, you purchase virtual cars and so on. So, but again, we're not buying that back. Then we have a second currency, which is called Spark in Upland. And the idea of Spark is a utility token, right? And the what you do with it is actually that you need to stake Spark in order to build something. When you want to build a house, you need to stake Spark. The more you stake, the faster you build the house. So, you know, or when you want to manufacture items. So there's a lot of utility. We launched that token 2 years ago in the app. There's also a Spark exchange, or there's a third-party game called Spark Tycoon, which I can recommend. The community loves that to play it. And it has been around since so many months already, and we have already 130,000, roughly a little bit more, Spark token holders. So what we want to now make is actually make that token tradable, right, on external exchanges. Yeah. So, because why can we do that? Because we never sold that token somehow to investors. We never gave it out to the team. And this is now, and we're going to call that token actually Sparklet. And we're going to issue 1 billion Sparklet token on the Ethereum chain, as you can see here. And then people will be able to take Sparklet into Upland, because obviously they need them there, right, to do something there, but they can also take them out. And this is what is now really our next, you know, next level in Upland. For the first time, we're going to have this externally tradable token.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. There's a whole lot of questions that I think is going to pop up and as a result of this. But I have one question previously when we were talking about UPEX and now Spark. Like, is there any sort of gaming mechanisms within that? Like maybe in Las Vegas, like you could go to a casino and play poker with other UPEX people, right? Like UPEX poker or Spark poker or something. Is that something? Like, is there ways to interact like that? Because with that UPEX token, you could probably utilize that in some sort of feature like that to make it add an element of fun.
Yeah, so what we're going to have is like tournaments. Again, for UPEX, you can already do something. We have treasure hunting in UPEX, right? You can go treasure hunting, you find UPEX. But also with those third-party applications or car racing, people can race for UPEX, right? So they have a tournament for that. And we're also going to do the same thing for Spark. So there will be a lot of, you know, we call that share and build. So you do something, you earn Spark, right? Obviously in the app, right? But always, it's always connected of doing something, not just by you know, staking it and doing nothing.
I want to gamble. There, right? I'm a degen. I want to play poker.
You want to gamble?
So how will people get Sparklet then? How does that work?
So Sparklet, you will get in the app, right? To fulfill certain missions. Yeah. And what we also announced 2 weeks ago, we are going to launch very soon what we call a social media tool, right, where you can connect your Twitter account, and then you can have to do certain things. You know, then it depends, you know, how many followers you have, how many people engage with you, and so on. The more Spark you can earn, well, let's say it differently, you're going to earn points, and those points then convert later to Sparklet. Yeah. So that's the idea, right?
Yeah, so like that Gleam.io tool, kind of give people real world social media treasure hunt sort of things. Go out
and
do.
That's the idea. Yeah. Yeah. We call that actually also a series, right? This is just, we're launching the first series, but the first episode, how you want to call it, right, in Netflix language, right? And then we're going to have multiple missions to do that.
Okay, I got a question here then about Spark. is there going to be an Upland sort of airdrop for people who've already participated in this? Or is there going to be like a token launch where people can get in at the pre-sale or whatever and access that? Or is it going to be just, here they are, they're on the exchanges now? Is there anything you can talk about on how you're going to launch those out?
Yeah, so we're going to have, so we did an airdrop, you know, when we launched Spark, right? And all the players, and that's also why you received Spark at that time, right, to the players. So the next one is really this idea of, you know, it's also called elsewhere like play to airdrop. So you actually have to do something and you get also in the app. Either you do it outside of the app, this is a social pool, what I just mentioned, or inside the app and you will be able to collect Spark, right? You can also buy Spark in the app, right? So, and we always had this, we currently what we're doing is maybe we bundle it or you actually do, you know, you buy a lot of Spark, then you get a discount for that, right? So, but everything's happening in the app at the moment, right? And then we have to see going forward, once Sparklet is listed on exchanges, right? Then we would probably come up with new ideas how people can get to it.
Okay, but there won't be like a token sale. You're avoiding all the regulations.
No, we can't. We can't. That. As you know, we are a US-based company. We have, you know, we're very limited what we can actually do. And obviously, we want to stay regulatory compliant all the time.
Excellent. Well, you guys can, if you've not yet signed up for Upland, I wonder, do we still have, let me check to see if our link is going there, our affiliate link, badco.in/Upland is where you can go. Oh, that actually tells people about the collectible series that we made back in 2020 and 2021. Wow. Has it been that long? It is.
Time flies, baby.
So I'm not sure, but if you guys just go to upland.me and sign up, go try it out. It's free to try and it's free to play, actually. You know, of course, you'll need some upex beyond your initial what they give you in order to become a tycoon, but definitely worth checking out, see all the things they've got going on, because it feels like these are the moves that you need to make in order to go to a more mainstream audience now.
Yeah, correct. No, we always were trying to get the mass market, right? But that's the reason why we had apps and where we let people, you know, sign in with email and password to make it really simple. Because obviously, you know, if you want to really get to a broad audience, you have to do certain things which are not hardcore crypto.
Right on.
I want to ask this real quick as a final thing, as like an Easter egg to people who are listening. Like, what's something on Upland that you can do right now that's really cool that most people maybe don't realize or they don't know about it?
So I think one of the coolest thing is, of course, what I love is the car racing, right? So now that's not everyone is really yet doing it, but that's something really, really lots of fun. So people who are involved with the car racing, there's also a community created car racing league. You know, they really have a lot of fun there.
So I can go to this.
Where is that? Yeah.
What do you do? What do I just pick a track down here? Is that how that works?
Yeah, and you create a race.
And I make a race.
Did you have to go to a special place, Joel, or did you just go into your profile area?
I was in the it was in the assets profile area, and I just clicked on Alpha Racing, and I guess I picked my car, and vroom, vroom, went to pick that guy, right? Look at that badass shiny vehicle, and of course, I will race it because that's me. Those of you not watching the video, you're missing out on what's happening here. You can go to our YouTube channel or Rumble or Odyssey to see it. So we're actually going to get a visual here of a race playing out. Is that what's going to happen?
Ooh, yeah. Look at this.
Okay. Narrate, Dirk.
Big spender, by the way. Big spender with your one upex. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I don't even know.
You're racing against yourself, yeah.
So do I actually, I control it with what?
Yeah, but there's also races where you can participate in and so on. So that's also, but they have to, I don't know, most likely right now there's no race going on right now because the racing league only does it, you know, at certain times.
Okay.
But am I actually, is it a, you just set it and forget it? Like you watch it race or do I control it?
You can watch it and then you have certain things what you can control with your, you see.
Okay, but it's going to drive itself.
Now you're racing now against your AI, against other virtual partners. But what you see here is what's so nice is you see really the buildings which have been built in Upland.
Oh, those right? are the actual. So yeah. if we're racing yeah. on a street.
Yeah, you can skid. You can skid. You know exactly right. You can accelerate and all that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I can control it.
Yeah, you see it on the bottom right there. Just press the button.
Oh, exactly.
Well, you can go three times as fast if you get in a nice little area. Go, Joel. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah, okay. I just hit my brakes, too. I'm failing. I'm going to let it self-race there. Dirk, congratulations on Biddling here and Upland.me. Very worthy of you guys checking out and look forward to seeing what happens with Sparklets as they get rolled out here in the near future. So thanks.
Yeah, we're super excited that. All right, and that's coming. Woohoo!
Oh, you know what we didn't do? What? We have not yet made fun of your very German accent. Perhaps at this time.
Do I still have it?
Do you still have it? Yeah, you. I think you're pretty much going to have that one forever.
Not as much. It's getting cleaner, brother. It's getting cleaner.
Getting better, right? So, so.
You're kind of growing your
hair. I'm trying to break American as best as I can.
You're getting some Miles hair growing. Looking good.
Yeah, that's it.
You turned into a llama. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thank you, guys.
I remain bullish on Upland. They've, you know, raised several million dollars. They're developing really quickly. They're iterating. Dirk is helping to chair this Open Metaverse Alliance. And I think that they're going to be one of the ones to remain, you know, as the shakeout happens, not financial advice. Of course, go do your own due diligence, but you can go try the game for free. Don't cost you nothing to try.
I love it, man. You get to play around and it's a really cool ecosystem now. And the way it's set up, like if you want to fly to, you know, another town, well, guess what? It's not a teleportation. It takes a little bit of time. You got to fly there. You got to, all right. And then you come back to the app later on and then maybe you've landed, maybe you haven't. And, oh, you need to take the subway. Well, you got to go to the subway terminal. You want to fly somewhere. You got to go to the airport. You know, you can't just teleport somewhere. So they've tied in enough of the really cool real world type of stuff. You got to go do some real things. And so kind of interesting how it's all set up, Mr. Joel Kahn.
Absolutely. And got some exciting new content coming for you next week. And not going to tell you who it is yet, only you're not going to want to miss it. We appreciate you guys tuning in, dropping out. Well, that was the 60s. Tuning in, turning on, dropping in, dropping a deuce.
Going up, dropping up. Upland, baby. Dropping. You don't drop up, but you can do it today.
And while you're doing that, you can stay back. The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.